Morning. It's so good to be with you, or whenever you're listening to this. I know that people listen at different times. My name is Charles Morgan, Word is Alive Ministries. I just want to thank you for your support, your prayers, your monetary support, the radio station that I'm on, for the internet, and all the ways that we get out. We're going to continue to do this, and I just appreciate all those things the Lord has provided. Thank you so much. We're going to be in Mark today, the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 4, I'm going to be, start reading in verse 33 and read down through the end of the chapter, verse 41. What I'm going to be reading can also be found in the Gospel of Matthew 8 and Luke 8 as well. You can go and find these sayings and this story of what we're being told about Jesus in both of those places, and each one of them complements the other. So here we are. And with many such parables, in verse 33, spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? All right. So his disciples have been with him. They've seen him do some things. They've just seen him heal a man. And Jesus is speaking to people, a multitude, in parables. These are stories designed to get a point across. I think it's so great because I do that. I've heard others do that. I grew up with people that would tell you a story to kind of teach you a lesson, tell you something so that you could understand it, something that would be beneficial to you, that you could relate to, something that was around you maybe, something that you had done before, somebody that you knew, something like that. And in my area, that's just the way it was. And so we would deal with that. And I think that's so great that Jesus was doing the same things. He was teaching in these parables. So He spoke to be understood. See, Jesus wants to speak so you can understand. So many people say, well, I can't understand the Bible. If you would read it, I think you would get the meaning of it. And maybe there's some deeper things that you could get into that might be hard to understand, but you can still understand them. But you've got to get on the milk of the Word, and so you can get on the meat of the Word. It's just like anything. When I was in school, I didn't start out in algebra and geometry and physics and all that. I started out with basic math. And so that was the things that I can understand. And as I grew and I learned, I was able to add to those so that at some point I was able to do the higher math. Same thing with all the subjects. So as we learn, no one woke up one day and became a nuclear physicist. They had to learn all the way through. That's the way we are with the Scripture. Read the Scripture. It's to be understood. Jesus will speak to you in such ways that you will understand these things. The plan of salvation is very simple. It's very difficult for people to do, but it's actually very simple in its structure, in the way it's laid out, if we will just pay attention to it. So he spoke to these people in parables so that they could understand. He said, verse 34, But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So he spoke in parables to the peoples. Jesus is to be understood. That's what he wanted to do. But when he got alone with his disciples, said he expounded upon them. What did that mean? He fleshed them out. He stretched it out. He explained a little bit more to them. He said, okay, here's what I'm talking about in this parable. Wouldn't it be great to know every little thing that Jesus said? John said, all the books of the world would not hold what he said and what could be said about him. So we don't get everything, but we get this, that when he was with his disciples, after he had spoken to all the multitude, he taught them. He did a little one-on-one. They were able to ask questions. They were able to talk to him. He was able to tell them, this is what it is, and answer those questions that they may have. That's a great thing. It's a great time to be able to do that and to listen to someone. Bible teaching is very important. Preaching is very important, but we do need to be taught. It may be a one-on-one. Maybe you need that with someone. Maybe you need to be taught one-on-one, and that's a great thing to just sit with someone. Maybe ask them a question and say, what does this mean? I've had people that got saved that really didn't know much about the Bible at all. When I would walk up to get ready to come to church or something, they'd walk up with their Bible open. Maybe they would call me up and say, hey, I just read this. Can you tell me more about it? And so we would sit down talk if we could, or just over the phone converse and get those things. So Jesus is easily to be understood, but we need someone to expound to us as well. We need someone to get us deeper. We don't need to just stay in that milk. We need to get deeper into it. Go to someone that's learned, someone that's been taught, someone that maybe over the years has studied the Bible. You know, not all people went to a training class or anything like that, but they've studied and they've sat with other people and they know the Bible and they can teach you. Now, you need to be careful. Some people are going to try to tell you things they don't know anything about. They'll say, well, this says this and this says that. So have multiple people. When I learn, I have multiple sources that I go to and make sure that they all line up pretty close anyway, you know, and someone may deviate just a little bit, but I want those all there. So Jesus expounded to his disciples because he wanted them to know. Then we see this. Well, I'm getting to my sermon here. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So they got in a ship and said there were other ships with them. And as they were going, a storm came up. Now, Jesus was in the ship. And it says the ship was filling up. It was filling up with water. Jesus is there with us during the storms. The storms of life that come along. It may be physical ailments. It may be emotional, mental. It may be just things coming down. It's just those things, those storms. It may be something that really is coming towards us. Where we are, we get tornadoes. And not long ago, we had one so close that I actually went in our storm cellar. It's the first time I'd ever done that. I sent the family before and told them to do things, but I'd always toughed it out. You know, I was going to be there. But this one was so close, I said, I'm going down there too. Get to some safety. So that's our inclination with storms of life and all kinds of things, real storms. We want to be safe. We want to get into some form of safety. Safe rooms are being built everywhere. We see pictures of places that are hit by storms, and only the safe room is left after everything is done. Excuse me. So we want safety. That's a natural inclination. That's something that we should want. I mean, it's people that are daredevils that want to have a death wish, we look at them and go, what's wrong with them? So the storm came. But understand this, no matter what we're going through, if we're a child of God, if we've given our life to Christ, if we've committed ourselves and we follow Him and we have a home in heaven, He's with us. Always. He's right there. These guys knew it, but they didn't respect it. And so what did they do? They got panicked. They got panicked. Now, one thing they did, they went to him and said, Master, but what is that, teacher? The one that has expounded upon things to us, the one that has taught us the word, that is telling us these things that are so true and they mean so much to us. I'm just thinking about how they would have felt, you know, and said, oh, he's the one that's teaching us. So they go and they say, Master, don't you care? You ever said that to him? I think we all, if we admitted it, we would. Say that we have. Don't you really care? Are you leaving me here alone? Again, we could look at that and go, whoa, man, I would never do that. If Jesus was in the boat with me, I wouldn't care. Would you really? See, we say a lot of things like that, and I've heard people say stuff like that all my life, but yet I've also seen those same people, when they get in despair and problems, have the doubts. What am I going to do? You know, I can't do this, I can't do that, you know, and would we really? Let's be honest with ourselves, we would probably be just like these guys. The boat's filling up. Why? Why is this coming down on me? Why is this happening to me? Jesus is there during the storm. It's not something that comes up and he just goes, well, you know, I'll show up if I need to. You know, have you ever had somebody that you thought was a friend and you call them up and you really need them and say, well, do you really need me? You know, do I need to come or do you want me to come right now? You know, I'm really busy. I've got things going on. Making excuses to keep from going, to keep from being there with you. And maybe on the flip side, you've had these friends that it didn't matter what it was. You called up and said, I need some help. Give me some time. I'll be there. It's going to take me just a little bit to get there. Where are you exactly? Jesus is that friend, but he's already there. We don't have to wait for him to get to us. We don't have to go, Jesus, you know, I need some help. Could you get here pretty quick? No, he's right there. He's with us always. That's what he said. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, even the age. Everything, I'm right there with you. So they go to him and they say, look, do you really care about us? We thought you did, but now we're beginning to doubt. That doubt's natural. I like this. He was asleep on a pillow. He had a pillow. Man, he was crashed. He was asleep. He wasn't just back there dozing off. He had laid down and was gone to sleep. You say, didn't he know what was going on? Sure he did. He knew everything. He knew what was happening. So what was he doing? I think he was teaching these guys. I think he was actually teaching them. He was allowing them to come to him with their doubts, with their fear, with everything they had. And he was going to take care of it so that they would understand that they could depend upon him. Even through my life, I've had him do things. I've had him take care of things. And yet still, it just seems like there are so many times that I have the fear. And I have to battle it. I have to take it to him. I have to ask forgiveness for it. But Jesus is there. So if you're going through a storm of life, you're a Christian, you're just wondering, why am I going through this? Jesus is there. You say, well, he was asleep on the pillow, you know, he wasn't paying attention to him. He knew. He knew what was going on. So they go to him and they say, don't you care for us? Instead, and he arose and rebuked the wind. The other Gospels say this as well. It says he rebuked the wind. But in the Gospel of Mark, we know exactly what he said. He said, peace, be still. There's a comma after peace. So it wasn't peace, be still. And I may have even read it like that while ago in my haste. But it's peace, be still. He was speaking to the wind. It said he rebuked the wind. Wow. Man, that just blows me away to think that our Jesus spoke to the wind. I've always thought about this, and as I would study this, I would think that it's his creation. Even the wind. You know, he was speaking to Nicodemus, and he said, do you see the wind? He's like, no, but you see the evidence of it. Jesus sees the wind. He knows it. He knows all about it. He is the one that created this world. He knows how it works. He knows everything about it, and it knows him. His creation knows him. He even said at one time, said, if you don't worship me, the rocks would cry out. Around here where I live, boy, we got a lot of rocks. Boy, that'd be a loud thing if they started crying out to Jesus. He said he rebuked the wind. He said, peace, be still. It's amazing. The most amazing part of that is it happened. It said the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Not just a calm, a great calm. It just stopped. And all of a sudden it was completely still. What did he say? He said, be still. Quit doing this. Now, are there storms? I just told you a while ago that we've experienced storms. And yeah, they keep on blowing. But Jesus commands them. He commands them. The storm obeyed him. Everything obeys Jesus in nature. Except mankind. We don't care. We've turned our back. We've decided we can do it on our own. We look at everything about and we look at it and we say, we can do this. What were these guys depending upon? They were depending upon themselves. They were depending upon their ships. Their ship was filling with water, and so they were losing confidence in it, and they wondered why Jesus was even allowing it to happen. He was teaching them. We need to be taught. We need Jesus to teach us. We need Him to come to us and teach us and let us know what we need to be doing. This is hard lessons to learn. I think about Joseph all the time and everything he endured and all those things that would happen to him, and yet he became victorious. A picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus, look at everything that Jesus did for us. He suffered on this earth. He put up with a bunch of idiots like us. He suffered through them. Man, he could have just got rid of them right there and go, man, I'm gonna start fresh. To me, I'd have probably done that and go, man, how long? I've been teaching these guys for a while and they're still like this. They hadn't learned a thing. I'm gonna get me a new crew. That's not what he wanted. Even when Peter denied him, as he told him he would. When he came back, he didn't say, Peter, you're done, man. You denied me. You're over, man. No, he told him, he said, you've learned. You're going to continue to learn, but I still got a job for you. I got something for you to do. I need to take care of my sheep. I need you to feed my lambs. I need you to teach them. I need you to do something, Peter. Because Peter had gone back to his old job. He thought he was done. I'm sure he thought, man, I'm fixing to get fired for sure. This is over. But Jesus said, no, I've got something for you to do. The wind obeyed Jesus. Every time I read that, it just amazes me. It kind of freaks me out just to think about it. And it did these guys too. We're going to find out. Verse 40, he asked me, he said, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Think about it with us. If we're walking with Jesus, if he says, I'm going to walk with you, why are we fearful? I did a sermon for Wednesday about fear in 2 Timothy where it says he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Power and love. Man, that's what he's given us. Why are you so fearful? What's going on here? And then you ask him, how is it that you have no faith? You know, when Peter was walking on the water and he sank, he said, oh, ye of little faith. Because Peter had a little bit because he got out of the boat the first time. He said, of little faith. He said, you didn't have enough to stay up, but at least you had enough to get out of the boat. These guys, he says, why do you have no faith? See, they were so fearful, so extremely wrought that he said, you had no faith. None at all. Wow, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Even the four that was lowering the man down to see him, Jesus looked up and saw their faith. That's what I want. I want Jesus to look at me and see my faith. See my faith. Although I've got failings at times, I want him to see my faith. Even though I go to him sometimes and go, I don't understand a thing that's going on here, I want him to see my faith. Even though I throw my hands in the air and say, I'm done, I want him to see my faith. Even if it's a little faith, I want him to see my faith. I don't want him to tell me, you don't have any faith. I don't want that. I don't want that from Jesus. I want to be the one that he sees. How do we do that? We stay close to him. We stay close to him. See, what they could have done is gone back there and just laid down with him. Hey, he's going to take a nap. I'm going to take a nap. He's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. They could have just gone back and go, hey, Jesus, ship's filling up. But they were fearful and had no faith. They were freaking out. I mean, we can look at it in anything you want, you know, whatever adjectives you want to put there, it doesn't matter. They were completely beside themselves. They didn't know what to do. They had lost all hope. They felt like they were sinking. everything seemed hopeless. I'm going to tell you, I talk to so many people in our world today that feel like it's hopeless. They feel like everything is going down. And you know what? In some ways it probably is, but that's the physical, that's the government. But Jesus has told us what's going to happen. But he is not hopeless. Through him we have hope. Only through him. We can look around, and I've heard people, oh, you shouldn't be teaching about prophecy. You shouldn't be talking about this. I'm telling you what, Jesus said, see the signs. We can see these signs. Look at what we've done in our nation. We celebrate the things that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you want to contradict that, go right ahead and contradict it. Put comments everywhere, but I'm telling you, sexual sin, immorality, homosexuality is what got Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Were they not helping the poor? Absolutely. But you look at it and you read your Bible, that's what happened. You can decide that you don't want to pay attention to that. Even as a Christian, you can say, oh, well, we don't have any right to say that. Read your Bible! And we as a nation celebrate those things even inside churches. Christian people say, well, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. Here's what I think. And what is your faith in? They were upset. They were hopeless. Some people in our world feel like it's hopeless. The only hope is through Jesus Christ. To know that he is victorious. He has this all. Verse 41. They'd already said they were fearful. 41, they said, and they feared exceedingly. They were afraid after Jesus did what he did. They should have been. They should have been awestruck. They should have been fearful. They should have looked at it and go, wow, what in the world are we doing here? And they said one to another. So they're sitting there and they're not talking to Jesus, but Jesus gets up. He says, peace, be still. Everything calms down. All of a sudden, they were sitting in a storm. Their boat's filling up with water. And now they're sitting on a glassy sea. Nothing's happening. It's just calm. Within an instant, it changed. And only because Jesus said something, and it immediately when he said it. Now they're fearful because of who they're with. They're scared now of Jesus. They're looking at him and going, oh no. They said, what manner of man is this? There's their first mistake. They didn't recognize who he really is. They just thought he was teacher. Very good teacher. One who teaches in parables to the multitudes and later on expounds this to us and teaches us even deeper. Remarkable guy. Wonderful teacher. Mesmerizing when he speaks. But they didn't recognize that he was God. The Messiah. You see, even today, people put those terms to Jesus. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a teacher. Maybe a prophet. You know, even asked his disciples, you know, who do people say I am? Isaiah, Jeremiah, maybe one of the other prophets that, you know, you've come back and that's who it is. He said, who do you say I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he said, you didn't come up with that on your own, Peter. Holy Spirit put it in you. That's who he is. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is God. He said it himself. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. I and the Father am one. Kind of freaky? Yeah. Does it work? You bet. Seen it work too many times. It's worked in my life. It's worked in other people's lives. It's continued to work. Even when people try to stamp this Bible out, it gets stronger. When they try to kill Christianity, it grows. Why? Because it's of God. Even though we look at things and we may look at it and say, well, it's not going right. It's going God's way. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He's God. He's the one that made it. John said this. John said that Jesus made everything, and without him nothing was made. So in the beginning, when we say that in our Bible, we say at the beginning of our world, what we know, he was there. He didn't just come along at Christmas time like everybody thinks, and always a little baby. No, he started out as a little baby when he became incarnate here, when he came down to be our Savior. He grew to be a man, but he was for eternity. He's always been. He was at the wall of Jericho when Joshua talked to him. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He was in the burning bush before that to speak to Moses. He always has been, and he always will be. He is God. And yet he came and he spoke in such ways that we could understand him. Spoke in ways so that we could know what he was about, what he was doing. He had already given the message, but he wanted to speak to people. He wanted to be with us. It says he knows our infirmities. What does that mean? He knows how we feel. You know, if you're out there and you're hammering nails and you hit your thumb with the hammer and somebody's been there and they can look at it and you go, I know how you feel. I've done that. But you talk to someone that's never had a hammer in their hand and go, yeah, I know how you feel. I got a hangnail once. You're going to look at them and go, you don't know how I feel. But we can look at Jesus and we know he understands us. He understands everything about us. He lived a life with us from being a baby and having family. How about that? He had a family. Y'all know what families are like. He had one. He had to deal with them. And yet he was sinless. Can you imagine dealing with your family and not sinning? Even in your mind or getting mad? He dealt with family. He dealt with friends. He had an occupation. But when it came time, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He separated himself from that, and he went about to be our Savior, to die on the cross, to defeat sin, to defeat death, so that we could have eternal life. He did that for you and me, so he could say, peace, be still. Today he's saying, peace, be still to us. Chill out. It's okay. Keep on working. There is hope. Don't be slack. Keep on going. Child of God, I'm talking to you right now to keep on moving. Storms may be coming. You may be in one right now. Matter of fact, I'm in one right now. Jesus is here. And I have to remind myself of that. And you can too. If you're sitting here and you go, I don't have a clue what you're talking about, then you need the Savior. You need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal punishment. Away from God in hell. You can accept Jesus Christ. You can accept the free gift today. You can acknowledge that, hey, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. These guys had to learn that. We've got to learn that the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We got to know that he died on a cross while we're yet sinners. So we can't get good enough without him, without his sacrifice, without taking and accepting what he's done. We can't do it on our own. His love was commended to us when while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you as a sinner. He paid the sin debt. He died instead of you. You need to know that if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What does that mean? Let me expound upon that. If you confess the Lord Jesus, confess that he is God, and you want to make him God of your life, be over everything, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And you need to know this. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You are whosoever, and you can accept him today. I pray that you will. I hope that you will. I hope that you'll accept him today. Give your life over to him. and live in hope and not hopelessness. Even though you live in a storm, to know that you have the eternal hope. Even if sometimes you feel like He's asleep on the pillow and not paying attention to you, He's there. And He knows exactly what's going on. Jesus spoke to be understood. He expounded. He's there during the storm. Jesus is obeyed by nature and everything. He is God. Put it in your heart. Give it over to Him today. Well, thank you for allowing me to be with you. My name is Charles Morgan, Word is Alive Ministries.